This is, what is it? It's Things I Found Online with Joe Cipriano, Larry Morgan, and Louise Palenker. Beware, these radio legends are exploring the internet. We are Things I Found Online, your internet culture club. I am Louise Palenker. We are all both the consumers and the creators of the online content that informs, instructs, amuses, annoys, supports, attacks, distracts, and hopefully entertains us. So let's talk about it. I'm here with Larry Morgan.
You need to pick up the energy. You sound like you're on an NPR show here.
I feel like I'm doing a voiceover in front of two voiceover guys, and I should really just hurry it up. So in Los Angeles, we've got Larry Morgan.
Hi.
And in Spain, that's I've seen that on maps, haven't you?
I've heard of such a place.
In Spain.
I thought it was like a magical land, like Hogwarts.
Well, it may be. Joe, are you in Spain?
I am in Spain, where the rain is mostly on the plain, and I can verify that right now.
Are you in the...
I'm actually sitting in a puddle.
Oh, are you? Okay. Well, that's good. Well, take off your headphones. You don't want to get...
If you would do me a favor, Wheeze,
yeah.
If you can talk closer to the apparatus that is allowing me to hear you.
Oh,
because right now I'm hearing...
Well, I'm so close to it that it's almost behind me. But... You know, we still have a long way to go in terms of, like, global communications. I feel like we're on the cusp of something.
Yes, like, exactly.
Being able to talk to someone in Spain. We're just almost there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's not like we have our Star Trek communicators and we're able to connect to
right,
other galaxies.
Exactly. No, I decided to go somewhere on the planet where I, it was the best opportunity to not be able to hear you two.
All right. Well, keep heading east.
And I found it.
East.
Yeah.
I just want to say I have found it.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Are you in the Barcelona region of the Spain?
I'm in Barcelona or Barcelona. Barcelona.
They all have a lisp.
Where everyone has a speech impediment.
They do, because the king did.
They
and
do.
So they do.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Yes.
It's quite beautiful here. I will tell you that we are 9 hours difference. So you guys... I know you start the podcast usually at midnight.
Right.
So for me, it's 9 a.m.
No,
here.
I think that's completely wrong, actually.
He's being a contrarian.
Is that wrong? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was never good with time or math.
All I know is that you should probably be asleep right now. You're an idiot to be on this thing.
Thank you. And I'm partially asleep at the moment.
This all may be just a horrible dream. So, Joe, have you heard of the Google Translate? Have you been there?
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry, Wheeze. If you can get closer to the phone, it would be helpful.
Have you heard of
the what?
The Google Translate. Have you been there?
Oh, my God, Wheeze. Whatever you did, do that over and over again.
Yeah, but now I'm
afraid. Let me just lie back and enjoy it. Hold on.
Oh, he loves the sound of your voice in his ear.
Say again.
Have you heard of the Google Translate?
Oh, I have heard of the Google Translate, but please tell me more.
All right. Well, I divined a message for you. And if Drew has that link, I typed in something in English, and now the Google Translate, it doesn't just read to you, it speaks to you.
Oh, my gosh.
It's true.
It's unbelievable.
Drew, do you have that clip?
Yeah. I can't wait to hear that, Drew.
Yeah, let's go. Okay. Here we go.
Joe, son las multitudes de aficionados españoles gritando que le permiten dormir.
Now, the problem is Joe didn't hear that, so you're
can you
repeat that to him?
No, I can't. I can translate it. Joe, are the screaming throngs of fans keeping you awake?
I'm sorry. Yes, they are. The screaming throngs are, now as I look outside the booth here, they're napping.
Oh, they're napping. Okay, so, they'll be back. They always do come back.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Yeah.
But Joe and Larry, one of the things that Larry and I were talking about during the week when you weren't here, Joe, was we're somewhat entertained by online – or not online, but like captured rants of like a celebrity sort of with the tape still rolling kind of just having a meltdown.
Right.
And
right.
So the most recent celebrity to be caught is our own lovely and dashing Lawrence O'Donnell. And I don't know if you've been...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know if you've been out of the country too long to have seen
it. I saw it.
You saw
it. Oh, my freaking God.
Yeah. So I guess Lawrence was... You know, things have been a little stressful since the election, in fairness to Lawrence.
Yeah.
But
Do
you have that rant for us, Drew?
I can have it in like a second.
He can have it in a second.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Apparently, there was some sound leaking into his earbuds.
Well, there was something... He was clearly getting something from the control room he wasn't supposed to be getting.
Well, today, President Trump...
Then,
Right.
He made it sound like that there was actually some renovation work going on a nearby floor or nearby.
He did. It's either above me or below me or out there.
And Joe, I was wondering, because you have done like live shows before and you've done announcers and stuff. Have you ever had an IBF incident where you were getting more than you needed to get being broadcast in your
ear? I have to tell you, one of the directors that I worked with on the Emmys quite prolific. He spoke in a language that would not be welcomed on broadcast television or on the internet, for that matter. And he would be, you know, he'd cue me to read whatever I'm saying, like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. And then he's yelling at other people using expletives that would make a sailor blush. And by the way, I've made a few sailors blush. So the problem is, as you know, when you're doing a live show like that, you do have earphones on and you're hearing everything. You're hearing the director. You're hearing the camera people. You hear the lighting people, the assistant director. I was doing a show once called the GQ. No, it was the it was the GQ Honors. And I was introducing somebody. The director said, okay, ready, announce. So you get ready. And then say, cue, announce. And then I said, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. And then I heard in my headphones, no, 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 stop. And I stopped. And then I heard, Joe, what the hell are you doing? Go, 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 go. And I finished it up. And I found out later that there's a lot of people on this, you know, system. And he was actually yelling at a cameraman who had moved his camera while he was on the air, and he was saying no, 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 no to him.
Right.
But I thought he was talking to me, and
course,
I stopped on
course.
A live show.
Yeah.
So then I made this pact with myself. When they say cue announce, I turn down the volume of the director, and I just announce. And I don't care if I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm not stopping ever again. I'm just going to do it.
Right. Once you start announcing, you got to just keep announcing. Right.
You gotta
until
go.
So this is, yes. I guess this is during a commercial break, and somebody leaked this, but it's Lawrence O'Donnell not at his best. Take it away, Drew.
Congress, Michael Iskoff has the latest on that. Clear. Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
I don't know. It's
where's the hammer?
It's on a different
is it on the go up on the other floor? Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
He's scaring me.
Stop the hammering.
I'm not hammering, Lawrence. I'm not hammering. Don't hurt me.
It literally looks like as he's doing this.
I'll go
this,
down to the goddamn floor myself right. And stop.
Right,
keep the goddamn commercial
still,
break going.
Oh, he's still upset.
Really
call fucking Phil Griffin. I don't care who the fuck you have to call. Yeah. Stop the hammering.
All right, stop that, Drew.
Okay,
starting to get
Lawrence,
frightened.
Lawrence, I'll never hammer again.
Poor Louise. It looks, and it, actually the visual of it, it literally looks like there is somebody's put 1,000 volts in his chair and just keeps, you know, like just
yes.
punching him.
Well,
right in
oh
the
my
butt.
God.
You know, I blame the
and
Russians.
And he looks so pissed. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, and so that, but you know, it's in a long line of great rants. So he's really, you know, he's really stepping on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah,
Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so because we grew up in radio, and we would old school. We would pass these rants around like with reel to reel tape.
Yeah,
and we would just kind of
dub
pull
after,
someone around a
yeah.
corner and say, "I dubbed this for you. Don't say a word. Don't make eye contact with D's."
It's like a 40th generation dub of something.
Yeah, and so now that there's the internet, this stuff is so famous in radio circles that it's made its way to the internet. And Larry or Joe, say what you will about the Casey rant, because it's a classic.
Oh, Casey rant, of course.
Oh, my God. The Casey rant?
The Casey rant. When's the first time you heard the Casey rant, Joe?
I think it was very soon after it happened, because I was actually working in that studio. I was doing a show called The World Chart Show. With a co-host, with Adrian Walker. And this popped up. We used to record in Casey's studio. So this recording popped up of Casey going completely off. And I think a lot of folks have heard it before. So I think it was very soon after it happened. and shocked because Casey was the kind of guy who said,
"Hi, I'm Casey Kasem. Never say anything that you shouldn't say because always think you're on the microphone." I said, "Oh my God, he went against his golden rule."
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, because he, I mean, you would think if he was like this all the time, a whole lot more tape would exist, but this is about the only one there is.
Well, we actually know the guy that's...
It really is.
We know the guy that smuggled this tape out of the studio because Casey used to go through and when you would edit, you would cut tape and it would hit the floor. So it wasn't digital. Everything that you didn't want in the show was on the floor, and he would have like armed guards come in and sweep this stuff up. And apparently a friend of ours... I'm not going to say his name because I don't know if he wants this on a podcast, but maybe we'll have him as a guest on the show.
Probably not. Yeah.
But he, this was so golden that he just, as it was spooling, he was just stuffing it into his shirt. and he used to play this rant for Rick Dees. I used to write for Rick Dees, and he would play this rant for Rick Dees to entertain Rick Dees when Rick Dees was having a bad day. And it would, Rick Dees would find it completely beguiling that someone else was having a meltdown.
All right. Drew,
so
let's
here
hear
we go.
It.
Oh, my.
The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on the radio station you grew up with, Music Radio 138. Oh, fuck. What the hell's going on here? Oh, geez, well, isn't it the last hour? We got another hour to do? Geez, I thought we were almost finished. Good golly, Miss Molly. Boy, this is fucking ponderous, man. Ponderous, fucking ponderous. Hi, this is Casey Kasem. American Top 40 has moved to a new time. I hope you'll join me this Saturday morning and every Saturday morning at 2. Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again. I'm coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. It's the last goddamn time I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
What I notice in the rants is like they start sort of mildly pissed off at something. And then they work themselves into a lather, and then they're reminded of every grievance.
Other issues come up. Yeah, like the pictures, which we don't know
about. You know what's great is that...
God damn it, is Don on the phone.
Yeah.
And it's Casey. He's so perfect. You know, he sounds like he does on the radio, and it continues throughout the whole time. He never breaks the fact that he's still Casey Kasem, and God damn it.
Casified.
And it's funny because we being in radio, knew about this for such a long time, but it was actually Howard Stern who made this a public phenomenon because he started just running it all the time on his show to the point where all his fans would request it. Somebody animated it. You can look up on YouTube. You can find an animation
to it. Yes, I've seen that, Lair.
Yeah. As a side story, you know, for a short time, I actually worked with Casey. I kind of went full circle because, like all of us, Joe, probably too, one of our first jobs was running his show on our radio stations in our little hometown.
Right.
And I got to work with Casey when he was still doing American Top 40. And then we started doing running classic versions of the show from the 80s, 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. And it was actually Casey's idea at one point because he was well aware by this time that Stern and other people had made this a very famous rant. Casey had the idea of saying, you know what, we should put out the 1980 whatever show that this was, and or 1970 show, or I forget which year this actually came out, and we should promote it, and we should say you've heard the outtake.
Really?
Here's what the real dedication ended up sounding like.
Wow.
And then about a week later, he came back and said, you know what? I don't want to do that. Never mind.
Oh, but
he had second thoughts about it. He wanted people to hear what the original Snuggles, the show's the Snuggles dedication actually ended
about
up sounding
Snuggles,
like.
About Snuggles, the dog.
Yeah, he should have gone with that instinct because the Mormon religion places ads in the programs at Book of Mormon. They just go with it. They're like, all right, you can make fun of us.
But it just shows how open he was to the idea that he recognized that that was a low point, you know, in his career. And he embraced it. He didn't try and deny, you know, that he didn't have anything bad to say about Howard or anybody.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
I have to tell you one thing. There's one thing that's kind of tucked into that because there are a number of things. There's the show record where he talks about Snuggles the dog.
Mm-hmm.
But the beginning of the tape is him doing promos.
Right.
And the one thing that's kind of hidden in there is he never knew he would say, hi, I'm Casey Kasem. Join us, you know, at 8 a.m. on W blah, blah, blah. And so he's reading these promos. He would read like a million of them. And he goes, hi, I'm Casey Kasem. Join us at our new time, Sunday morning at 2. 2!
And he's finding out for the first time that his show has been moved to 2 to 6 a.m.
Wow.
Moved to 2 a.m.
Okay. So that was
the
jerk
back. The line?
Okay.
Is Don on the line?
Yeah, have Don look into that. Forget about the pictures. Find out why this station is putting my show on in the middle of the freaking night.
Where are we at 2?
And who's awake listening to this promo that will still be awake at 2? Maybe Joe, because we're keeping him up late tonight too.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be 2 before he gets off the microphone.
You know, we're going to skip.
Hi, this is Joe doing the podcast at 12 midnight. 12 midnight!
So we're going to skip the anchor rant and have that for next week, because there are some visuals attached to that, and I want to do that on Facebook Live.
Awesome, awesome.
So it's something to look forward to, but Paul Anka has a lovely rant all his own, and it's
yeah.
It's quite fetching.
It's kind of a meeting, right? It's a meeting with his band.
He
just goes off on everybody.
Dressing down the band because he's the only important one up there.
Right.
And he makes that really clear. But
he did say that, doesn't he?
Rick Dees was one of my first bosses. I wrote the weekly top 40 for Rick Dees.
Right.
That's part of my legendary radio status.
Rick Dees, the weekly top 40.
Right.
Wow. He does Casey impressions and jingles.
Jingle singers. So Larry took me up to K-Earth and introduced me to one of his colleagues. And when there's more than two radio people in a room, you start swapping stories.
Yeah, you can't help it.
Yeah. So who was that gentleman?
That's the lovely and talented Greg Sims.
Greg Sims. Very charming. And so we started and he's a big, Dees fanboy. And so we started telling and sharing Dees stories. And everyone sort of has a Dees impression, you know, and it's Dees off mic. We never do an impression of Dees on mic. We do an impression of Dees off mic.
Right, right.
It's very ingratiating, you know, that guy. And so Larry started telling this story, and he said, and Larry was telling me how there was, I guess there was a memo that Rick had sent to all of us, the disc jockeys and all the people that worked on the weekly top 40, and that had somehow gotten leaked to the Times.
Yeah.
And Larry will take the story from here.
Well, I remember the memo because the memo came out very shortly after I was just hired there, and it was a really big deal. I had been on the air in Odessa, Texas. I had not been in any market bigger than that. I'd been going to school at USC, but I hadn't been on the air, and I got brought in, and one of the first things I get in my box is a memo that everyone got from Rick Dees, not on Kiss FM stationery, but on Rick Dees in the Morning stationery, that went on a bit of a rant about how his tapes, his carts, if you know the jargon, and at the time we all shared the same studio. Rick and all the other disc jockeys were working out of the same room on the 19th floor at Sunset and Vine. But he had like hundreds, maybe 1,000 sound effects up on the wall.
Yeah, they were drop-ins, and they were like people saying, what were some of the famous drop-ins?
Is the
famous stuff.
Yeah. And, hey, that's great.
That's great. Yeah.
But he knew where every one of them was.
The Time Fairy.
The Time Fairy.
The Time Fairy flapping
his wings. In the morning. Yeah. Tell me what time it is.
No, what was it in Spanish saying, I don't have any time for you? No solo tiempo para ti. Well, you're in Spain, Joe. Ask them if I did that correctly.
Yeah. So someone had been rearranging, listening to, and in Rick's mind, apparently dubbing all of these off.
In Rick's mind, there had been a complete ransacking.
Yeah, yeah, somebody had been stealing them, and he only knew this because they'd been put back in the wrong spot, because they knew where everything belonged. Mm-hmm. So he sent a note out to everyone basically in the building who had access to that studio saying, if I find out who did this, I will get you fired. And that's a pretty, you know, gutsy, ballsy thing to do for somebody who is a morning guy. But at that time, a very powerful, you know, guy in the business. Now, a short time later, a few months later, the L.A. Times calendar section, which at that point in 1985 was kind of like a tabloid insert in the middle of it. It was like a magazine unto itself. They were going to do a cover story on the success of Rick Dees. In fact, in the first couple of lines,
we found this online.
Yeah, we found it on the LA Times site.
And this was written long before the internet existed.
Wow. And it starts out, 2 years ago, he was just another LA morning DJ. But now Kiss's fun-loving boy wonder is the hottest disc jockey in Los Angeles and the country. He's everywhere, hosting Solid Gold and syndicated radio shows, doing commercials. He's cut a pair of comedy albums and even has a movie development deal in the works at Paramount. It's all made a multimillionaire out of 35-year-old Rigman Osman Dees III, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you think at this point, probably like Rick thought when he was interviewed for it, that this is going to be some big puff piece, adulation.
A nice, positive piece.
Yeah, Rick Dees conquering the radio airwaves. However, the next sentence, it kind of turns. But around the Kiss studios, they call Dees the Little Prince. And some coworkers say he's spiteful, petty, insecure, and just plain nasty. And it gets worse from there. And in the middle of this article, in the gatefold of the calendar section, they reprinted the entire memo that he had sent out.
Oh,
and
they did.
They basically sent they printed the exact image of that memo so that everyone could read it.
Amazing.
And it was not pretty.
Yeah.
It was rough, right?
Well, yeah, at that time, because especially, like you said, he was like, everything was golden about him.
Yep.
It was all, you know, positive stuff. But can I also say, if you were to repeat that top paragraph in 2017, you would think that you're talking about another disc jockey by the name of Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, just replace the TV show and some of the other things. And you're absolutely right.
And the thing is, Ryan was able to kind of parlay all of that into being a multi-mega, you know, media star, owning all of these shows. And Rick had that opportunity, but for some reason, it didn't happen for him like it happened for Ryan Seacrest.
Well, according to this article, Rick had a deal for a movie at Paramount.
Yeah, I guess that didn't happen.
That
huh?
he said was going to be a cross between Hard Bodies and Porky 7.
Rick.
There's something to shoot for.
Rick was given a TV show at Paramount, and I think once
Into the Night.
Into the Night,
with Rick Dees.
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen. Lanier, that is how it is done. That was one of his big musical guests.
And I, you know, Lanier. Okay, so I thought it was Levert. No, okay,
that exists too.
Yeah, I think that Rick wasn't very fluid on camera. He wasn't a natural presence
on
camera.
And he wasn't really great on camera like a Ryan Seacrest
is. Ryan is, but Rick on radio. You can't touch him. I mean, he was so good.
Oh, no. Yeah. He was unbelievable.
He was born for radio, and I think that's the thing that drove him crazy. I mean, there was a period of time where he wasn't allowing anyone to take his picture in the studio. He didn't want to be referred.
Oh, that's right. He never wanted to be seen sitting behind the controls of, you know, what we call the audio board.
Right.
He wanted people to think that he was, I don't know, in a studio, you know, standing up.
He didn't want you to know that he and Willard were the same person. And can I tell you a little secret about Willard? Anytime he had to scold me, he did it in Willard's voice.
Yeah.
Like Willard really was his alter ego, you know,
because Rick could use that voice.
Rick had a weird problem with me. He didn't like me for some reason. And if he ever on occasion had to do like public appearances and then had to call into the station. Rick would never call me.
Willard?
But Willard would.
He did. Hey, Larry Morgan. My God. Rick D is out here in Thousand Oaks. Hey.
So, and I'm on the air going, okay, Willard, thanks. Click.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I haven't heard that voice in so long.
So here's the finish to the memo story. So I'm a baby DJ working at Kiss FM. Yep. I've been there just a very short time, and I am there usually at night. Well, one night, Rick.
It was obviously you who did it.
No. Clearly, I was a suspect.
You and Rick think very much alike, Jeff.
Yes, I'm sure.
So I'm working there at night, and rarely do I see Rick, but because he actually does have an extremely busy schedule around this time, he had come back to the station after taping Solid Gold.
Solid Gold, yeah.
And was recording the weekly Top 40 in an adjacent studio. I come back from the bathroom while I'm on the air, and Rick is there in the hallway. And we haven't really had a conversation yet. But we suddenly had one in the hallway. Oh, Larry, it is so great to have you here. You sound so great. Did you see that thing in the LA Times? That's the second sentence out of his mouth. And I realized as I'm talking there and saying, oh, yeah, I saw that. Wow. And he's, oh, can you believe that they printed that in the. And I realized as he's talking to me, he's kind of waiting to see what my reaction is. He, much like Joe Cipriano, my good friend, was suspicious that maybe the newcomer had sent that memo to the LA Times. I did not. Oh. I was too scared to death to even be in that place to do anything
Amazing.
Like that. So flash forward, years later, I am at a get-together at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood as a bit of a send-off to our very own co-host here, Louise Palanker, she is leaving Premier Radio
Networks.
By
the way, if it was a send-off, it didn't work, because here she is.
I know.
No, but it was a send-off.
She wasn't being exiled from the country.
Larry actually took my job.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah.
So here's
how
it comes full circle. Larry took my job at Premier as I moved off into the night to become a stand-up comedian and filmmaker and all the wonderful things
multi-million
that
dollar media mogul right.
on my resume. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we were Jamie at the Laugh Factory had said, yeah, you know, have the party here. So everyone roasted me, and it was great. And our good friend Gary Owens was there.
Yeah, the
who
great
was a mentor,
Gary Owens.
A mentor to me.
It's Gary Owens. The G.O. show.
The G.O.
Talk about a radio legend, Gary Owens, and many people remember him as the announcer on the Laugh-In show with the hand over the ear and beautiful downtown Burbank. Gary was delightful and wonderful and hilarious and old school in a way that you'd never want to change.
He partied with Clark Gable.
Yeah. And we were reminiscing about working at Kiss. And I said, we were talking about Rick and telling Rick stories. And I said, I remember being grilled in the hallway by Rick about that memo being sent. And I said, do you have any idea who sent that memo? And Gary Owen said, why, yes, I do, Larry. It was me. I said, you sent that memo to the LA Times.
Come
he says,
on.
Absolutely. And I said, why did you send
that?
Oh, my
God, I never knew that, Lair.
And Gary Owen said, because that motherfucker deserved it.
Isn't that beautiful, Joe? Because the only person who would have sent that would have been someone as untouchable as Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
no one else would have dared.
Completely untouchable. Yeah.
Completely untouchable.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he was sticking up
for
us.
What a setup. Oh, jeez. Yep. I had no idea.
It was the great Gary Owens. And I have to say, and no offense to Rick, who absolutely was ruling the airwaves at that time, and despite his odd social behavior, never did anything to me, mean to me, like he abused you, Louise. But I couldn't have had more admiration for Gary Owens at that moment than that simple act of defiance.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You totally got me on that one. I had no idea.
Isn't that?
But you know what? Can I also say on the plus side for Rick? Rick was always very kind to me. Mm-hmm. Because I was. When I started at Kiss, I was just doing part-time, and he would send me a little note. But that was his deal. He would send people little notes, put it in their mailbox at Kiss FM with encouragement and things like that, which was wonderful. And he was he was honored by the Pacific. Oh gosh, what is it called, Wheeze?
Pacific Broadcasters something.
Broadcasters.
Right?
Thanks, Larry. And I was on the dais, which I called the Rick dais. All right, a pause for laughter.
Pause.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. And so I was on that with Tim
Kelly.
God, my mind is it's 12:16 in the morning.
Oh, stop complaining about the late hours, you old man.
who do I mean? He's on KFI. Tim Jr.
Tim Conway.
Oh, Tim Conway Jr.
Tim Conway Jr.
Yeah.
Who sat next to me. Wally Clark was on the other side.
Yes.
It was a great, you know, event, and honored Rick and all of that. And I see Rick from time to time. I just saw him about a month ago. A good friend of mine and Anne, maybe I shouldn't say their names, are members of Toluca Lake, the Lakeside Golf Club.
Toluca Lake, yes.
And, yes. And so we were there for dinner, and Rick walks in, and I go, Rick. And he goes, Joe, hey, how are you? And he goes, you got to see this. Rick has always got an idea.
Yep.
Oh,
back in the 80s, yeah. He had the idea for VHS videotapes that were, you know, the plastic shells.
Right. They were expensive. Promotional tapes, right.
Yes. They were expensive to ship. You know, a VHS videotape. So he somehow got together with some company that developed these VHS cartridges that were made of styrofoam.
Right.
And and they were completely lightweight, and you could ship them. So he's always looking for something. So he goes, Joe, you got to see this, Joe. Take a look at this. And he's got a new app that is kind of like Spotify, kind of like Pandora. Can't remember what it's called. We have to look it up. And you can be your own DJ, and you actually record intros of songs into your phone, and they're put over the intros of songs, and you create your own radio station.
Cool.
Because nothing's hotter with the kids these days than good old-fashioned radio disc jockeying.
There you go. That's right, Larry Morgan.
If it's not, it should be. Because it's fun to talk up a record.
Oh, my God.
Well, I believe I found the name of the app.
Good work, Larry.
Oh, good.
And if I've got it correct, it is very subtly and...
What's another qualifier?
What's it called?
It's very subtly and surreptitiously named Rick D's Hit Music.
Ah!
Well, there you go. There it is right there. Yep. Yes.
Want.
And it's received...
Funny, I couldn't remember the name of it.
And it's received 4 out of 5 stars.
Ah, that's pretty good.
Five total reviews.
We will download
so
it and try
it next
week.
You can create your own radio station. You are the DJ.
Can we do that next week, you guys?
Let's do it next week. Because I don't do it enough in my own life.
No, but I want to try out Rick's app.
Hey, wait a minute. Why can't we get together and do a podcast instead?
Joe, we're
already doing
that. Did you just think we were just talking to each other?
Joe, Dick's here. Yeah. We're recording. Dick's here and Drew's here and we're recording.
No,
so
Drew's.
Now we have to, because Joe has to go to sleep, and we're going to get to the part about where we actually find things online.
Yes, let's do that.
Good.
So I'm going to start.
Although we just found Rick D's Hit
Rick
Music
D's
app.
We found Rick D's Hit Music app.
4 out of 5 stars.
True.
We'll be downloading
Comes
that.
Highly recommended.
Yes.
Love it.
So I'm a big fan of podcasts. Not this one, but others.
No, this one's terrible. No.
And one of my favorites is Radiolab. Does anyone listen to Radiolab?
I know of Radiolab.
So Radiolab comes out of WNYC Studios in New York. And it's hosted by Robert Krulwich and Jad Abumrad.
Wait a minute. We're going to change their names to Jim Scott and Tom Collins.
Yeah.
Okay,
Robert
go on.
Krulwich and Jad Abumrad.
Yep.
Which is one of those names that when you hear it, you're not sure where the first name ends and the last name begins.
Yeah.
But I looked it up now online, and boy, the last two episodes of Radiolab have been just absolutely exquisite.
What's it about?
Well, they tell stories.
Yeah.
It's not like a panel podcast like ours. It's like more like storytelling where there's little interview bites and narrative, and it's like a documentary but without the visual. So that you can keep your eyes on the road.
Oh, good.
If you're driving.
Yeah, okay.
so the there was one called Anna in Somalia, and it's about a political prisoner in Somalia who is confined to a tiny cell. The prisoners were not permitted to talk, and so they developed a tapping code. It wasn't Morse code, because they didn't know Morse code. They made up their own with the alphabet. And after years of captivity, the guy in an adjoining cell is permitted to take a book back to his cell. He chooses Anna Karenina, and because it was the fattest book that he had in the little case that he had brought with him to prison. And then he proceeds to tap out this book to his neighboring prisoner. And hearing the book and getting kind of absorbed in the book pretty much saved his life.
Oh, wow.
And so it speaks to sort of the power of humanity, that we will connect with one another and that we will keep ourselves involved and our brain occupied no matter what we have to do to make that happen. It's
amazing.
Just riveting.
Wow.
And as if that wasn't great enough, that next week they come out with one called Oliver Sipple. Who's Oliver Sipple? Well, in 1975, an ex-Marine and Vietnam vet was out walking in San Francisco. He happened upon a crowd that had gathered to see President Ford, and he thwarted an assassination attempt by knocking a gun out of the hand of a woman who had already taken a shot at the president. He was a hero, correct? Well,
wow.
This fame shined an unwelcome spotlight. Oliver Sipple was gay.
Oh.
And this was 1975.
Wow.
So he was not ready to be used in that way.
Interesting.
And his family wasn't ready. And so it's just an absolutely riveting story.
Oh, God, that's tragic. Yeah.
So Radiolab.
I highly recommend it. Also, they are seeking what's it called when you donate to public radio? It's like sponsors and stuff like
donations.
That. They said that 0.8% of their listeners donate, and they want to bring that up to the big fat one. Mm-hmm. Is it they think? And so this podcast, I donated $100 to Radiolab.
Nice.
And I recommend you donate a dollar because
that beautiful.
You don't
love
have
that.
Rick D's money.
Well, Louise, that is riveting and fascinating and deep. And so I was Googling Star Wars pajamas.
There you go.
And
that's a great segue, Larry.
Thank you.
That's good.
I didn't know she was going to go with the serious one this week.
Well, Star Wars pajamas
usually none
comes,
of us did.
Yeah, it usually comes right up after, gay activism. So
no, I actually ended up I bought a Star Wars T-shirt this week. I found a site called Fifth Planet, and I think I've mentioned in previous podcasts, I am not the total nerd that I might be presenting myself podcast.
You're very cool.
I do have a wide range of interests.
Oh, wait a minute. You're
shut up, Joe.
Selling yourself short. Okay.
Commit.
But I have been mildly obsessed with the lack of information I'm getting about The Last Jedi, which has seemed – I mean, you would think you'd be hearing more about it.
Right?
And it's going to – I know it's going to bomb us any second. But what I did find is that there is a ton of Last Jedi merch already out there.
Okay, so wait. Back up for a moment because I am
– wow.
I don't know. What is that, the new TV show? Or
no.
What is it?
Oh, good God, woman.
Help me.
Star Wars The Last Jedi is the next chapter in the Star Wars saga following Star Wars The Force Awakens from just about 2 years ago with some of the original cast members, the ones who have survived.
And Star Wars and Star Trek are different,
okay.
Right?
I'm gonna beat you over the head with your own phone.
Okay.
So The Last Jedi is opening on December 15th. You would think there would be a lot of hype around it. I just got it in my head. I wanted a Star Wars shirt. I found a throwback kind of vintage-looking shirt with one of the original poster art photos from A New Hope, the original 1977 era, which is I'm old enough
to. Did that one have Ricardo Montalban?
Stop it. I'm serious. I'm going to hit you.
Okay, go ahead.
So I went down this rabbit hole all of a sudden going, there is a lot of stuff. There is so much Star Wars stuff. And there's a lot of stuff from the new movie that nobody knows about yet except for the Porg. And am I saying
What's
that right?
A Porg?
Porg? Anybody?
Porch?
That's one of the new little
I'm not there.
That's one of the new little alien creatures.
What do they look like?
That's going to be adorable. It's going to be like
really a
cross between an Ewok and an R2-D2.
Aw, cuddly.
It's going to be the toy. And then I found, I guess maybe since Disney took it over, they have been licensing the bejesus out of this thing. And I have found, a site, onit.com, that has created licensed Star Wars exercise equipment.
Wow.
And I discovered it because I found they have a video that looks like Darth Vader's helmet, but it's actually a kettlebell in the shape of Darth Vader's helmet.
Do you punch it?
And they have it like, and they have like the music and it and they light it up in the video. But at the very end of the video, it says, merchandise does not include lighting and music. So it's just a heavy Darth Vader head that you use as a kettlebell. And so I found that they have something called the Death Star Slam Ball, which is an exercise ball.
So
and they have the
so it's like Star Wars CrossFit.
But my favorite, and I hope that we can post this when we're all done here, the Han Solo Frozen in Carbonite yoga mat.
Wow.
There he is in carbonite.
Oh, my gosh.
And you can do your downward dog right there on top of Han Solo, trapped forever. So as Leia said...
You can downward dog on his face. I love that.
And as Leia said, namaste. And Han replies, I know.
Wow.
I also found on a different site, and I'll go through these really quickly, through lunchbox.com, I have found these are real licensed artifacts. These are not collectibles. These are new. Star Wars Darth Vader and or Yoda lightsaber light-up chopsticks. There is the Star Wars license frame that reads, my other ride is the Millennium Falcon. There's a nerdmobile for you. The Star Wars Luke Skywalker lightsaber floor lamp, only $103. If you're looking to splurge, the Nixon Star Wars Darth Vader charger chrono watch, for $475, you can get the Star Wars Imperial logo dad hat. What the F is a dad hat? And I want one.
Dad.
There is also an extensive towel and tufted bath rug set. It goes on and on.
What you need to know, Joe, is that Larry has printed out about 40 or 50 pages of
unbelievable.
This merch.
Yeah, about a third of it is just bobbleheads.
So we have some Christmas shopping to do.
Yeah. So anyway, I want the Death Star tufted bath rug, just in case anybody's thinking about me for their Christmas list. So
definitely,
that's unbelievable.
Amazing.
So
I could have been there for days.
This is J.J. Abrams, right?
Well, sort of. I mean, this is Disney's attempt at licensing things beyond. Clearly, the difference here is that when I was a kid, mm-hmm. you had the Star Wars toys and you had the Star Wars sheets,
mm-hmm.
and that's about
that
where
was about it
ended.
Yeah.
They are clearly marketing to all ages and high end. And if you're going to outfit your
absolutely.
Bathroom with the Death Star tufted rug, the the soap dispenser, the R2-D2 toothbrush holder, and the shower curtain, you're full on devoted
yes.
to this thing.
What I think we want to look towards for future episodes of this podcast, once we go visual, is someone who's really outfitted their bathroom. And is posting it on Pinterest. Let's please find that.
Decorating
tips.
According to Lunchbox.com, only super hot girls buy Star Wars stuff.
Yes, there you go. That's great.
Actually true, which is why I don't buy them.
And they're all size two.
Yeah. They're all size two.
Yep.
So, Joe, what have you found online?
Well, you know what? In keeping in the kind of theme, we were talking a lot about radio today with our Rick D's stories and also Casey Kasem. So I have a website that I found online that is kind of cool. You can spend a long time just perusing this website. It's called Radio Lab. No, that's yours. Radio.garden. Radio.garden.
Okay.
And what it does is it pulls up a image of the planet Earth, and you can peruse the entire planet. Green spots all over the surface of the Earth that represent radio stations that are live either on the air as broadcast stations or live internet stations. You can zip over to Croatia and listen to a live broadcast of radio station there. Or up to Italy, or come over to America,
go to
Canada, go to Russia.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of fascinating. And, you know, the whole online experience, the user interface of it is kind of cool. It's just the world spinning, and you just go around the world. click on these little green spots and listen to radio spot radio stations all over the world. It's really fascinating.
We don't hear you, Drew, but you can shout if you want to. Do you want to pick one
He's got one. I've got
Radio Murion. I might be saying that wrong. In Los Llanos de Ariande, Spain.
Oh, there we go.
It's an island off Spain. Let's hear it.
Could you pick one harder to pronounce, Drew? All right.
An island off the coast of Spain.
An island. Oh.
You can go to Barbados.
Oh.
I mean, it's...
¿Tú estás enamorado o qué esta canción o estos temas por qué?
De ti.
Ah, no sabía.
You hear static.
It sounds like the DJ is playing his own guitar.
Now, could this be any more cliched as to what you would expect to hear on a radio station
in Spain? They don't disappoint.
¿Tú no supiste que hoy Tomás se le lanzó a Felipe Ramos?
Hey, dude, you're talking all over the vocal.
¿Que Tomás se lanzó a Felipe Ramos?
¿Ves por no oír el soplete? Todo lo que te pierdes.
Le dijo que curro, tío.
Le dijo, que estaba, le dijo que estaba potable.
What if we're late? Late? What if we're listening to...
¿De verdad?
Okay, go ahead. Pull it down, Drew. Pull it down, Drew.
What if they're making fun of us?
I have a feeling we're listening to the España version of Loveline. It's a sex talk show or something.
That was a dead dog dedication in Spanish.
And that was them getting really mad. They're just really mellow and saying...
Is Donaldo on the phone?
Oh, my God.
So we're going to close out the show because we know you have to get to bed. So, Joe, you're teaching a seminar all day, every day. How does it work?
So we're here in Barcelona, and it's actually it's called the Euro VO Retreat, and there are three coaches, voiceover coaches, and apparently I'm a voiceover coach, so mm-hmm. this is new to me. Mm-hmm. But I am teaching
people. You are now, if you're going to take the trip.
Yeah, I guess so, apparently. Yeah. So I am mission here is to talk about doing promos for TV shows, which, you know, that's kind of what I do. So all week long, we have 10 participants. They paid a very hefty price to be here at a beautiful villa, which is about a half mile away from the beach and just outside of Barcelona. And they have this intensive experience, all immersive in learning about voiceover and enriching their careers and maybe even their lives, Lair.
Oh, I'm sure.
It could be.
Just for having known you, yes.
So, yeah. So it's a pretty cool kind of thing. My lovely wife, Anne, is here with me. And the guy who puts this on, his name is J. Michael Collins. He lives in Luxembourg.
Wow.
Try to find that on the map. And he put this on. It's the first one. And we have 10 folks here. And we just spent a day with three sessions. I did promos. There was another coach here who talks about voicing over for gaming, you know, for games. And another coach that talks about commercials and all sorts of other voiceover type things.
Wow.
So this was the first day, and it will go through Friday, actually go through Saturday, and then we're done.
I just have one question about it.
Yes. We're taking questions. Hold on.
Yes.
Hold up your hand.
Yes,
who wants to ask a question?
I have a question, who is Mr. Cipriano.
Louise, yes, what can I do?
No,
I'm sorry, Larry. That was you.
Yes. Larry.
I was sorry. I know you get us confused, our voice quality.
Well, your hands are girly-like.
I know.
And so I didn't.
And Louise's are very manly.
They are.
They are manly. They are, yeah.
I've forgotten my question. Oh, my question is, have there been tapas?
There have been tapas.
That's all I want to know.
Yes. Yeah, there were tapas.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And there's other things that are rice involved.
I don't care. I just wanted to know about the tapas.
Lovely.
Tapas. Okay, tapas are in.
So we're going to close out the show.
We got tapas. That's the hashtag, got tapas.
So I'll tell you, got tapas.
That's how,
I'll tell you how I came upon this last find. And it was, I was watching The Good Wife with my husband, and you know, on the screen they always show the credits, and they show this guy's name who's on it. One of the Carries, you know, all the men on there are named Carrie.
Yeah, that's a bunch of Carries.
Yeah, and but I can't figure out how to pronounce the name of the actor.
Yeah,
who's also in
Gilmore Girls and Friday Night Lights.
So I'm just sitting there on my phone, and I typed in, how do you pronounce his name? And it brings you to YouTube, which apparently now is teaching us how to pronounce people's names. So, yeah. Drew, do you have the clip? Because you click on the YouTube, and it's simply this. You're not missing anything without the visual. Go ahead, Drew.
Matt Zachary.
That's it. It's like a small child saying his name.
Matt Zachary.
Thank you. Matt Zachary. So apparently the C is silent, much like in the word czar.
Although you have to know that that's only the way you pronounce it if you were a 3-year-old.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And yes. So we're gonna have to try that for some other names and line that up for next week and just have that small child pronounce.
By the way, I've watched all of those shows. I watched Friday Night Lights and Gilmore Girls and The Good Wife, and this is the first time I've known how to pronounce that idiot's name.
Matt Zachary.
Matt Zachary.
So with that, Joe, please go to sleep and have an energized good day, and give our love to Ann Cipriano, who's my favorite Cipriano. Yeah. And yours too, right, Larry?
Sure.
Yeah, why not? And I would like to thank Dick Schroeder and Drew Franzblah. We are Things I Found Online with Larry Morgan, Joe Cipriano, and Louise Palenker. Please subscribe and like our show because we like you.
Yeah.
Bye.
And rate us on iTunes and tell people you like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Adios, Jose.
Adios, mi amigos.
Adios. Tapas.
Tapas. Gracias.